name of Jesus.
Amen.
Please be seated. Last week, we heard Jesus say, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And as Pastor Rohde pointed out, that's a pretty crazy thing for Jesus to say because, as we all know, that's upside down. The meek inherit nothing. They get walked on. Being poor in spirit, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being merciful, pure in heart, and persecuted don't exactly show up on the list of blessings that people hope for. But as you know, Jesus' way of thinking isn't the way this frantic, scared, dying world thinks things should be done. The world's always seeking glory in all the wrong places. It's got things upside down. This week, Jesus' surprising words continue. "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." What's not surprising is that the earth is evil and corrupt and needs a heavy dose of rock salt poured all over it. What's not surprising is that the world hurls through the vast darkness of space, shrouded in the shadow of sin and death, and needs to be enlightened. We know that. We experience that every day. It bothers us very much. What's surprising is not the what, but the who. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You, Jesus says, to you and me. I'll speak for myself, but what Jesus didn't quite understand is that I'm really not up to this. I mean, even if I did strive really hard to become salt and light, write blogs, protest, run for office, on and so forth, who am I? Who cares? What influence do I have on this great big world? There's so much evil out there. And not just out there, but right inside here. And so much bad stuff. If I am the light of the world, I feel more like Gandalf's lighted staff at Dol Guldur, which, as magnificent a light as it was, couldn't overpower the darkness of the necromancer. I don't mind Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world." But if he says, "I am the light of the world," this world's going to be pretty dark. And if I'm the salt of the earth, this world's going to taste pretty bland. But you know what? Jesus does understand. And he means exactly what he says. It sounds pretty crazy, but even St. Paul confirms the craziness of the way Jesus thinks when he says that it's not the ones the world thinks are enlightened or with it, or wise, or progressive, left or right, that Jesus calls his salt and light. It's not those who are wordsmiths who can craft their lofty speech in all apparent plausible words of wisdom. It's not those who are strong and unafraid and steady as a rock who are his salt and light in this world. No, it's those who are simply followers of Jesus in this world, his disciples, all of them, ordinary people, you, me. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus isn't saying that now that you're a Christian, you must start striving really hard to be salt and light. No. You are. You are salt. You are light. It's what your Jesus has worked in you. It's a done deal. It's what he's called forth from you, like he did at creation. "Be light," he said, "light out of darkness, salt out of tastelessness." Salt and light are what Jesus has worked in you and made you by his grace. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world, period. The challenge isn't to become what he calls you, but to be who you already are, to live each day in the world where he's put you as one who is baptized into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, to live as one redeemed by Christ the crucified, because that's who you are. But being that's a bit tough, because that's not the image this dying world respects. The last thing this world wants to hear is that you, Christian, are salt and light, because it considers you to be more along the lines of tasteless darkness. It's tough because it's counterintuitive. It's tough because until our dying day, there's still a part in each of us that doesn't want to be salt and light, at least not Jesus' salt and light. It's tough because behind what the world considers to be great is that old deceptive Satan who's constantly tempting you to be something else, to be something less than who God declared you to be when you were lit up, so to speak, and salted in baptism. But this is your true identity. This is who you are. This is your calling. No matter who you are. In fact, especially because of who you are in your world. Pastor? Layperson? Mother? Wife? Elementary school student? High school or college student? Father? Husband? Grandparent? Employee? Employer? Collecting a paycheck or retired? It's something you never grow out of. It's something that's you no matter what you do, no matter what vocation you have, no matter where you go in this world. It's your life in Christ. It's the way. You're the way God salts and lights the world. No one else has this calling. Only the children of God in Christ Jesus. And so, enlightened by him, Jesus says, be who you are. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, if as you reflect on your life, you're feeling a bit guilty because, truthfully, most of your life, you've been kind of like that salt substitute stuff. If you're wrestling with the struggle of being salt and light, and if forced to give yourself an honest assessment, you'd have to say, I've been a pretty dim bulb. If you know that about yourself, that's okay. It's okay in the sense that this doesn't damn you. Only a person who utterly refuses to be salt and light, only the disciple who deserts the Lord who's called him or her, can no longer salt the earth and will be thrown out and trampled on the last day. But these words, this declaration, you are salt, you are light, Jesus speaks to his blessed ones, to you. And he loves his blessed ones. And he speaks these words to you as encouragement. He's not saying, you'd better be salt to your salt and brighter light or else. He doesn't wield these words like a club. Right-handed, strong-armed displays of power never accomplish their desired effect. Ask God after the days of Noah whether a strong-armed approach fixed the world. It's hardly the way to motivate a child in the long run. And it's not the way it works in the family of God either, by way of threats and fear. Oh, he's capable of it, and we deserve it. But he also knows that that approach doesn't work. When God adopts you, you're adopted because he loves you. He really does, all the way through death and back again. He doesn't conditionally adopt you based on your performance. So don't fear when Satan, dare I say, rightly accuses you of not being salt and light at least the salt and light that you should be, and causes you to despair and wonder whether God counts you among his blessed ones. Know this, your identity is not created and it's not preserved by how well you acknowledge and live out your identity as salt and light. Your identity is created and preserved by the word of Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Your identity was created and preserved because he marked you and declared you his at your baptism. It's not blessed are those who perform fearlessly and flawlessly and get it all right. No, blessed are those who are called to faith in the mighty workings of Jesus. By declaration, they, you, are salt and light in this world. So why is being salt and light important? What if you thought about it this way? God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to live and die and rise again for it, so that he might draw the whole world to himself. And into this mixed up world, and everybody would pretty much say this world is terribly mixed up, into this mixed up world, he now places you, his salt and lighted ones, to live as his disciples. He doesn't stick you into an isolated monastery somewhere. He doesn't lock you in behind closed doors. He places you right in the middle of the world, your world, in your family, your neighborhood, amongst your friends and acquaintances, at jobs and communities. If we're not salt and light, the biggest tragedy isn't that God is going to abandon us. No, you're his forever. He adopted you. No, the biggest tragedy, should the salt become tasteless and the light covered up, is that the world God loves will not be salted. The world God has compassion for won't see the one who is the light of the world. People need to be called to repent and believe the good news that in Jesus the reign of heaven stands near. But without you, with what will the world be salted? Jesus asks. I know the world doesn't think much of us Christians. It even despises us. You might not even think much of this world that God's created. But the words of Jesus today reveal that God has put in your hands an incredible honor and purpose in this world. Your life isn't pointless. It doesn't matter if you're young or old or lack whatever skills. It doesn't matter if you're a Bible scholar or not. Your life isn't useless. You're living, breathing gospel to this world because you bear on your tongues Jesus Christ and him crucified. On this Super Bowl Sunday, I think that's the Sunday of the church year we're in, Super Bowl Sunday, comes every year about this time. I'm not saying I'm against defensive players, but Jesus doesn't call you to play defense in this world. Just try to survive, hide from the trouble spots, fear the world, isolate yourselves from people who are different than you, disengage. No, he puts you on the offensive against Satan right out there in the fallen world, right in the midst of the realm of principalities and powers, infiltrating the world. Your good works are like salt on the demonic slug. Your good works are like light that scatters roaches. You'll fail at this, of course. I certainly do. You'll succumb to the temptation to not be who you are. You'll settle for bland and ordinary. Your sinful nature will get the best of you, which only points out that where each of us, as broken on the inside as this world is broken. There will be times we won't boldly let our light shine forth like the dawn, share our bread with the hungry, a home with the homeless, or clothing with the naked, trusting that the glory of the Lord will be our rear guard. No, we'll rather worry about the assaults of Satan instead of seeing them for what they really are, the death throes of a defeated enemy thrashing about. We can always be saltier salt and brighter light. True enough. But your God would remind you of something else as well. You're forgiven salt. You're absolved light. And that's why it's important that you're here. Not to stroke my ego or to boost attendance. Who cares about that? Not to increase the offering. God is perfectly capable of creating money out of nothing. No, it's important that you're here so that you be continually raised up and restored in the forgiveness of your sins that was poured out on you at your baptisms and is pronounced over your broken life every Sunday at the font. It's important that you're here so that you be salted with the Holy Spirit of God and lit up with the light of God's Word that abides forever in a world where, as you well know, nothing lasts. It's important that you're here, fed and nourished by your Savior's body and blood. It's even important that you're here so that just by your presence, just by your presence, you encourage everyone else who is here, who is struggling, just like you. It's important that you're here so that His strong word that cleaved the darkness of both creation and the darkness that held you captive, His strong word that bespeaks us righteous, in turn gives us life. Not an ordinary life, but His own life, the life of Christ. Today, to you, to little old or young you, Jesus declares, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus' salt, God's light in your world, with Jesus on your lips, you are living, breathing salt and light gospel in your world because you bear on your tongues Christ Jesus and Him crucified. You, even me. And so, once again, as we sang, we pray these words, give us lips to sing thy glory, tongues thy mercy to proclaim, throats that shout the hope that fills us, mouths to speak thy holy name. Alleluia, alleluia. May the light which thou dost send fill our songs with alleluias, alleluias without end. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God which passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.